It is good to see all who have come this morning. We trust that when we have completed our service to our Lord in worship on this day, that everything that we would have done would be pleasing and acceptable in His sight. We welcome all, and especially if you're visiting, we are certainly grateful that you've come. If you came in after the welcome was extended at the opening of our service, please know that you are greatly loved for coming and being with us on this day. If there's any way that we can minister to your needs, please let us know. We'll do whatever we can that's in our power to make sure that your needs are met. So again, thank you for being here. Number 463, I think, has been announced. The title of that song is Oh Happy Day. And talking about been a long time since we sang that song, Brother Malone. Oh Happy Day. When Jesus washed our sins away. Certainly that was indeed a happy day. And Jesus wants to wash the sins of the whole world away. If the world would obey Him, then His cleansing power of His blood is available. And we thank God for sending Jesus, and we thank Jesus for humbling Himself and coming to this sin-cursed world to give His life a ransom for many, that we might have a right to the tree of life. So when we are standing and singing that song at the conclusion of our time together in this study this morning, these words of exhortation this morning, if there are any in our midst who needs to come, we would trust and we would implore you to come before it's everlasting and eternally too late. Put Christ on in baptism. Let Him add you to His body, His church, the one that He is the Savior of and the one that He will present in the last day to the Father. So we invite you to come and do that if you need to. If you already a member of the body, somehow you find yourself walking contrary to the will of God, we trust that you'll be encouraged to repent or to turn away from whatever it is in your life that's causing you to live a life of rebellion to the Lord. And if you need to confess before us, we encourage you to come. Or maybe you just need prayer for a reason in your life or the life of someone else. We encourage you to come. And maybe if you're here and you have not made it known, if you want to be a member of the Northwest family, you're a member of the body of Christ, the Church of Christ, and you'd like to make this your church home, certainly we would encourage that also. So whatever your need is, again, this morning, please let it be made known. I want to encourage you to obey the Lord in whatever area in your life that you need to obey Him. Passages were read this morning from the book of John, chapter 3. And the passages that were read in our hearing were verses 26 through 30. And as we look at this, those passages this morning, I want us to think about a topic or a title that is so needful to all of us as we strive to do the will of the Master. Unfortunately, the work of the Lord that He has assigned to His people to do has many times been hindered by those whose focus is in the wrong place. John the Baptist's disciples needed to learn this very lesson. These verses point out to us that were read this morning that John's disciples came to him after having a question about particular question that was on their mind. And they didn't really address this question to Jesus that they had. But they began to talk about another thing. And that other thing was about Jesus' baptism, or Jesus baptizing people. They basically said to Jesus that you were on the other side of Jordan, and this man was with you there, and you were doing baptizing, but now he's come on this side, and he's baptizing. And all men are coming to him to be baptized by him. In essence, I believe that they were saying, you are the one that should be doing all the baptizing. It looks like that perhaps a bit of misdirection, or maybe even a hint of jealousy, I don't know. Because the Bible says when you drop on down to the next chapter, in the first couple of verses there, you'll see that the scripture says that Jesus baptized more disciples than John. Though he didn't do it personally, his disciples did. And so these Jews, these disciples of John, was looking at this from a competitive standpoint. John reminded them that he had already told them, he said, you bear witness of this, that I've told you that I am not the Christ. I'm not the Christ. I was just sent before him. It is evident that they were focusing on John as the one, as I've said, and the only one to be involved in this mission. Or, perhaps, the very least, he should be baptizing more than Jesus. Thus, their focus was in the wrong place. John was saying, I believe, as we look at the last verse that was read, verse number 30, I must decrease, he must increase. John was saying, it's not about me. You need to understand, disciples, that it's not about me, it's about Jesus. And I think that would help all of us so much as we strive to do the will of the Master, is to recognize the fact that it's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about self. It's not about us. It's about him. And so what John again was saying, that you're so concerned about him doing more than me, your focus is in the wrong place. It's not about me. I'm just the one that's preparing the way for him. In other words, I'm doing his business. It's not about me. It's about him. Three people we want to look at, including John this morning, very quickly, that I believe demonstrates or illustrates to us this idea that it's not about me. John the Baptist, of course, that's in the text that was read. As I've said, he was the one that prepared the way for Jesus. He was the forerunner of Jesus. And perhaps his mother, Elizabeth, may have even told him, I'm just saying perhaps, these are just some things to think about, may have told him about her experiences with her cousin, Mary, the mother of Jesus. Some things occurred in her life, that is, in Elizabeth's life, that were very touching, I should say, and very significant. She may have related all this to John. Number one, she gave birth to John, the Bible says, in her old age. Luke chapter 1 and verse number 36. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. Luke 1 and verse 41. She pronounced a blessing upon Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke 1 verse 42 through 45. She may have shared all of this with John when he was old enough to know what she was talking about. I'm saying this is for the idea of for the sake of saying that this could have made John feel so important. But again, as John said to his disciples, that I came before him, I was just the forerunner of him. Which testifies to what the scripture says in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Notice what it says there in Matthew chapter 1 and chapter 3 and verses 1 through 3. The scripture says there, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, it's near. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John was talking about Jesus. The prophet was talking about Jesus. Isaiah talked about Jesus when he says, prepare ye the way of the Lord and make his path straight. So John was just the forerunner of Jesus. This could have, again, made him feel real good about himself, that I'm the one preparing the way for Jesus. And then, after all, he was 6 months older than Jesus. Luke chapter 1, verse 36 teaches us that. But yet, with all of that that John would have known about, John still felt unworthy. John chapter 1 and verse 27, he says that I'm not worthy to untie or to unlatch it or to unloose his shoe strings. I'm so unworthy. Even though I'm the forerunner of Jesus, even though I'm older than Jesus, could have played the one-upmanship, I'm older than Jesus, but I'm still unworthy. He could have had the mindset in saying that since all of this happened to me, I got all of this going for me, all Jesus will ever be is because of me. But instead of that, he said that he rejoiced at just being the friend of the bridegroom. I must decrease. He must increase. It's not about me. What a beautiful spirit that John had. You know, he could have said as they came and reminded him of that, you know, you're right. I've been out here in this wilderness eating locusts and honey, wearing camel hair. And here come this man. He's outdoing me. Who do you think he is? He didn't do that. Why? Because he realized it's not about me. Church, friends, neighbors, we need to always realize that it's not about us.
It's not about the song leader. He's just leading the song. Not about the preacher. I'm just preaching. Not about the elder. They're just elding. Not about the deacon. They're just serving. They're just deaconing. Not about the members. They're just being members. It's all about Christ. Whatever it is that we do, it's not about us. It's about Christ. Let's have the attitude and the mindset of John. It's not about me. But then, there's another person. The one that John was the forerunner of. Jesus Christ. He had the same mindset that is not about me. It's about my Father. It was humility that drove him in his mission. Everything that he did while he was here on earth, it was humility that motivated and moved him toward the goal of saving you and me. We know the scripture, don't we? So familiar to us in Philippians chapter 2, but put it up there anyway. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5. The Bible says this, as Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also, he says, in Christ Jesus. What kind of mind did Christ have? He goes on to describe what kind of mind he had. He said, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But then he says, but made himself of no reputation. Jesus didn't come into this world, as they say, like a proud peacock, strutting down the street saying, look at me. I'm the Savior of the world. Jesus didn't have that attitude, even though he was the Savior of the world. But he didn't have that attitude. He had an attitude of humility and took upon himself, the Bible says, a form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. The Bible says in verse number 8, being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It was not about him. It was about God. It was about the mission of God. It never was about him. Even when the fleshly man cried out in the garden in Luke chapter 22 and verse number 42, if thou will, he says, let this cup pass from me, or remove this cup from me. But he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. It's not about me. It's about what you want to do. That's what it is praying to his Father. It never was about Jesus. It was about God. John chapter 6 and verse number 38. Notice what he says there. John 6 and verse 38, he says, for I came down from where? Heaven. Not to do mine own will. But who did you come? Whose will did you come to do? Jesus. But the will of him that sent me. Why? Because it wasn't about him. It was about the Father. You know why he endured the cross? Because it wasn't about him. It was about what the Father wanted him to do. And so he faced that cross with joy. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's gone, the Bible says, and sat down at the right hand of God. He did that. Not because of his will, but because of the Father's will. It was all about what God. And aren't you glad this morning, I know I am, that it wasn't about Jesus? Because if it had been about Jesus, he never would have finished the course. But you know what he said in John chapter 17 and verse number 4? He says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do.
It wasn't about him. It was about God. And his disciples needed to learn that lesson because they at one time tried to protect him from going back to Jerusalem where he was going to be killed. Matthew chapter 16, verse 21, the Bible says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Well, listen to that, Peter. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Who's going to rebuke the Lord? Peter took him, the Bible says, and rebuked him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And Peter meant business. Because you know what? Peter, when they came to arrest Jesus, pulled that sword from its sheath and cut off a man's ear to protect Jesus. Jesus says, put up your sword. Because if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. But in the passage that I was citing already, notice what Jesus did. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. You're acting like it's about me and you. It's not about us. It's about God. It's God's will that I be slain for the sins of the world, and I am going to carry out God's will. So you're an offense to me. You're offending me. Get thee behind me. You acting like men. You acting like natural men think. And that's the way the natural man thinks. The natural man always thinks about me. Look what they did to me. Look what they said about me. This is what I want. We must get out of that mindset. It's about what God wants. That's why our folks can't forgive. Because it's always about them. They don't care about nothing about what God says. God says forgive. No, God, it's about me. They hurt me. You don't understand. They hurt me. They didn't hurt you, God. Yes, they did. They hurt God. That's what we don't realize. We can't see God but looking at ourselves. It's not about us. It's about God. Jesus said this. You know, I've already talked about when Peter pulled out that sword, cut off the man's ear. Jesus said this in Matthew 26, verse number 50, beginning. And Jesus said unto him, friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote or cut off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. But here's the point that I want to drive home. Verse 53. He says, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? What are you saying? If it's about me, this is all I'd have to do if it was about me. God would provide me with more than 72,000 angels. A legion was 6,000 people. The number was 6,000 that represented a legion. 72,000. They'd protect me if it was about me. But it's not about me. It's about God. So basically he said, I don't need you to protect me. Why are you going to protect me? I don't need you. God is on my side, and when I do his will, he's going to stand by me.
Thank you, Lord, for having the attitude. It's not about me. Again, I'm driving home the point that you and I need to have that attitude. That is not about me. So folks mistreat you? No, we don't necessarily love being mistreated. But don't lose it. Realize it's not about you. It is not about me. We're going to do the will of God and love them anyway. Forgive them anyway. Do good to them anyway. Why? Because it's not about me. If it's about me, yes. You curse me, I'll curse you. You do bad to me, I'll do bad to you. But it's not about me. It's about God. I'm thankful that Jesus had that attitude. It's not about me. And then the third one, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was one, again, who could have just really bragged on himself. He could have just let his resume blow him away, I should say. He could have let all that he had going for himself put him in the clouds where he'll never come down to earth again. But not so. He had a great resume. Listen at him talk as he stands before the rulers in Acts 22 and verse number 3. He says, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. He was a man that was educated. He was a man that was full of zeal. He was a man that just lived according to the law, blameless. And then he even talks more when he wrote to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 4. He says, though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, he says, I more. I'm at the top of the list. I'm number one. I was circumcised, he says, the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and of Hebrew, of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, as I've already said, blameless. But he realized when he had the encounter with Christ, that it was no longer about him. That's why he went on and he wrote in Philippians 3, 6 through 9, that he says, I counted all of these things but dung, but loss, for the excellency of Christ Jesus. It's not about me anymore. Perhaps that before he met Christ, it was about him. But once he had an encounter with Christ, it was no longer anymore about him. It was about Christ. I know we had a lot of good things going in our past life before we met Christ, didn't we? Good jobs, education. A few folks maybe had money in the bank, a lot of friends, status in the community. All these things that we could have had going for us before we met Christ. But once we met Christ and obeyed his will, all of those things should have been cast on the heap, just like Paul says. I count it as dung. You know what they did with dung in Jerusalem? They took it outside of the city and they burned it at the dump. It was worthless. I'm afraid if we keep having the attitude that it's about me, we'll still be boasting that I have this degree, that degree, I have this investment, that investment, I have this kind of car, I have that kind of house, I have that kind of job. But once we realize that it's not about us, we're just thankful to have what we have. Because Paul says, for by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's not about us. It's about God. Paul even said, some folks were preaching that could have gotten out of his skin because of their motives for preaching. Some were preaching, he says, thinking that they would add affliction to his bonds. He was in prison. But Paul says, that's all right. Let them keep on doing that. Christ is being preached. Now, if they got the wrong motive, the Lord will deal with them. But I shouldn't get all hot and bothered because somebody else is doing the right thing for the wrong motive. God will take care of them. Just let them keep on preaching that. My concern is that Christ is being preached. That's what Paul said to the church at Philippi. Look at what he says. Some indeed, Philippians 1, verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bond, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therefore do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul was concerned about Christ being preached. It wasn't about him. It was about Christ. The church at Corinth, they had all kinds of problems. They were all gathered and wrapped up around men. But Paul set them straight in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5 through 7. He says, who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Verse 7, he says, so then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gave the increase. It's not about the man that planteth, even though God uses men to preach the gospel, to plant his truth, but it's still not about that man. It's about the gospel. It's about God. Neither he that watereth. God needs folks to water, but it's not about the folks that do the watering. They're just servants, just ministers. It's about God. But when we begin to think again, when it's all about us, when somebody don't do it like I do it, I get all upset. If somebody don't water like I water, I get all upset. Why? Because it's not. I'm thinking it's about me. But it's about God. It's about God. All three of these that I've shared with you this morning, John, Christ, and Paul, they were successful in their mission because they didn't push a selfish agenda. John didn't push a selfish agenda. Christ didn't push a selfish agenda. Paul didn't push a selfish agenda. And they all accomplished their mission. When we have the same mind, we will accomplish the mission that God wants us to accomplish. Souls will be saved when it's not about us. The needy will be helped when it's not about us. Those, I talked about forgiveness, those who offend us will be forgiven when it's not about us. The lonely and the weak will be encouraged when it's not about us. The church will grow in spirit and in number when it's not about us. And what a great light we'll shine forth. People will be able to see that we're people of humility, that we're people of service, that we're people of love, because it's not about us. May we then be a people that will have the same mindset. May our focus always be on Christ. And when you take it off of Christ, it's in the wrong place. We need to keep our eyes, the Bible says, fixed on Jesus. That's why John could say, I must decrease. He must increase. Because he was looking at Jesus. That's why Jesus could say, not my will, but thine be done, because he was looking at God. That's why Paul could say, neither he that planteth is anything, neither he that watereth is anything, but God. He was looking at God. There's a song that I've heard that says it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about them. But it's all about him. That's what we need to remember. It's not about us. It's about God. If you're here this morning and you've been pushing a selfish agenda, you need to realize it's not about you. It's about what God wants you to do. I would become a member of the Church of Christ, but I got so many relatives, and they'll look down their nose at me if I become a member of the Church of Christ. When you keep that attitude, you're thinking about you. You need to realize that if you want to be saved, and if you're going to be saved, it can't be about you. It's got to be about God. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is the Savior. If you want rest in this life that you're living now, and certainly in the life that is to come, you're going to have to come to Jesus. And you can't come to Jesus on mama's terms, on daddy's terms, on friend's terms, on sister's terms, on brother's terms. You got to come to Jesus on his turn. Jesus says, here's the way you come to me. You hear and believe the gospel, Acts 15:7. You repent of your past sins, Luke 13:3. You confess your faith in Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32. You go down into a water of grave or baptism for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to his church, Acts 2:47. That's the Lord's terms. But if you're looking for some other term, it's about you. It's not about the Lord. You need to make it about the Lord. Lord, this is what you want me to do. This is what I'm going to do. You remember what was said to Mary's servants in John chapter 2? When they came to Jesus because the wine had run out, she told her servants, whatever he say to you, do it. That needs to be your mindset. Don't you try to tell him he don't know what he's talking about. Don't you try to tell him you got a better way to get this thing done. Just listen to whatever he says, and whatever he says, you do it. That's the mindset of not about me, but it's about him. It's all about what he wants us to do. So why don't you come to the Lord this morning, be added to his church if you're not already a member. If you're already a member, but somehow you've erred along the way, and I don't care what has happened to you that you may have thought that caused you to error, you got to stop thinking that it's all about you. And think about that God doesn't want you to perish, doesn't want me to perish. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Lord is not slack as men count slackness, but he is long-suffering to us, who are not willing that any should perish, but that all should do what? Come to repentance. The Lord doesn't want anybody to be lost. But if you stay walking a guilty distance from God, you're going to be lost. And I know whatever it is, it may make you feel good. It may please you. It may be a pleasant thing that's causing you to stay away from God. It may be pleasant in your sight. But if you keep looking at it that way, it's about you. It's not about God. God wants you to come to him. He wants you to turn loose whatever it is. So why don't you turn loose whatever it is that's causing you to be a guilty distance from God? Come to the Lord. If you just need prayer, why not come? Whatever your need is, come to the Lord so that you can please the Lord. But remember this as we leave here today.
that we'll never please the Lord when we keep thinking it's all about us. It's got to be about Him. Why not come to the Lord right now while we stand, while we sing? Oh.